United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
Well, so trying to, you need to, the reason why Dr. Brandy won't let me say the N-word and the C-word, which is crazy and nutty, because I'm both, is because, you know, we have put a taboo with people who have mental illnesses. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with having a cold, breaking a foot, having surgery, and saying that I have a mental illness. Some people have they have depression. Sometimes it's forever. Sometimes it's for a short span of time. Some people are bipolar. It is a imbalance. You know, as you guys know who listen in, you guys know that I was diagnosed with, you know, MS. It's an imbalance. It happens. I pray one day that they find a cure. I pray one day that it goes away miraculously. But until that time, I wake up every morning and I take my pills. And I go see my doctor at the Cleveland Clinic, and I acknowledge that I have to be responsible for my weaknesses. And it's the same thing with mental health. And today we're talking about a fear of success, but a fear of success could be a number of things. And until you talk them out, mm-hmm. would you say?
Because yeah, you have to figure out what it is for yourself. Like, what is blocking your development?
It could be something that happened to my family when I'm growing up. Could it? I mean,
it could be so many different factors that it's hard to pinpoint one for an individual. I mean,
what could cause me to have a phobia and or fear and or a? Because I know sometimes we diagnose other people when they don't have that, but you mm-hmm. see people who just sabotage completion.
Right. Whether it's a fear of success, a fear of the unknown, whatever it is, they self sabotage, and I don't think a lot of people know that they're even doing it, honestly. It's somewhat unconscious of it, or subconscious. It's in their subconscious, I guess. We probably all do it from time to time. I mean, think of simple things like cleaning your house and knowing it needs done, but then coming up with 50,000 other things to do. You just self-sabotage that goal. You know, and that's something I think most people can identify with. You know, you're not doing it. You know you should do it. It'll be the long-term consequence is much better if you actually do that thing, but you don't.
So procrastination would be a symptom of mm-hmm. self-sabotage.
Absolutely.
Ooh.
I mean, it's not always something as extreme as turning to drugs or alcohol or...
Weight loss.
Weight loss, we self-sabotage all the time. I mean, and that one is one that's talked about more often. I mean, you hear people, some people are overweight genetically or biologically. Some people purposefully, like I'll talk to rape victims who purposefully gain weight because they don't want people to be attracted to them. And in their eyes, if they're overweight, they won't be attractive. And so they might want to go on weight loss plans, but then they have their other issues
underlying
behind
issues.
Them that aren't addressed, and so they're self-sabotaging attaining the weight loss goal.
Maybe sometimes people don't do things simply because they don't want to do them. I'm real serious about mm-hmm. that. You know, when you look at some of the things that we're supposed to be doing in life, we're supposed to go do this, we're supposed to go do that, there are certain expectations other people have of us, that our families have of us, that our friends have of us. We just don't want to do them. I know a guy who was a perpetual student.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was going to university, came the last quarter, he stopped.
Just doesn't want to work,
just
right?
Didn't want to do that. So we went to another thing, picked another area. He eventually found what he wanted to do, and that he charged through, like,
okay.
You know.
But the question is, why didn't he want to do it?
Well, yeah, mm-hmm. When we got to that point, it was almost like the brick wall was there, you know, mm-hmm. do I really want to do this? And the answer
but you know, Mark,
to him was no.
But the issue is, it's not what you want to do. It's what you have to do. You know, there are a lot of things in life that we don't want to do.
Are you really like alluding to like career or
job? No matter what it is, I may not want to work, but my not wanting to work does not stop me from having to work. Because if I'm not working because I don't want to work, then then that goes into our political conversations of entitlement mentalities, where I think you owe me that I don't have to work and I can stay home. So I've got to either go to work, do what I have to do to get to where I want to go.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone, just because you don't want to do something, doesn't mean you get a pass. I don't like paying bills.
Do you consider your job, what you do, going to work? Are you enjoying what you're doing? And, I know the answer is I've worked with you.
What I do now,
yeah,
I love. But I didn't wake up one morning 30 years ago and end up with what I love to do. But now that I look back in retrospect, I find out that all the past positions that I had, even going back to the ones I hated, actually made me and built me and gave me craft and experience for what I do today. But I did not like going to work in some jobs.
And that's an interesting message. What do you think, Dr. Brandy, about people who are going, what she said? It's easier to say when you get to be a little bit older. I'm 63 years old. So when I do things now, everything that I've done in my life helps me do
you
where
look
I'm
back
at
upon
now,
it
and I draw on it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. There maybe people don't see life that way. Maybe they got to get up, they got to pay the bills, they got to get a job. They don't like the job they're doing. It really is.
Well, are you going to take a proactive role in life or a victim's role in life? I mean, what you're talking about is almost victim thinking, and of I have to do this, I have to do that because. Well, you don't have. You said maybe people don't do stuff simply because they don't want to, and that's fine. But people have to accept the consequences for their choices. So not wanting to work, that's your prerogative and that's your choice, but you also have to accept whatever comes with it. I mean, we can't put blame elsewhere. And that's something we work on a lot in counseling with anything we're talking about. Horrible things happen. Horrible, horrible things happen to people in life. But we have to help people come to a sense of self-responsibility and accepting your role in a situation. And that's the only way that you can gain power
because
over it.
Because when I look at when a child may not want to get up in the morning and brush his teeth and wash his face,
mm-hmm.
but it is the discipline that we put into our young people that gives them the power to have good self-hygiene as they grow older. They may not want to go to school. And so we see adults now, we're changing times when we send kids to school now based upon I'm not quite sure what.
Mm-hmm.
But I think everyone... We used to get up early in the morning. We caught the bus and walked to school. We had to be there at 8 o'clock. And it was you had homework. Homework was not for your learning, but homework was for your discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't have a discipline going into college of how to do work, independent study, you're really going to be screwed up.
You're going to. And those are all values in life.
So you can't say, I'm not going to go to work because I don't want to, and I'm not going to pay bills because I don't want to, and I'm not going to go. You can't do that. You can't survive.
You can, but if you don't have money to feed yourself, then there's a responsibility to accept. Or if you don't have the clothes that you want, then there's a responsibility to accept. And for some people, maybe that's okay for them. Maybe that's what they want. I mean,
okay.
According to your value system.
No, we're not talking about values. We're just talking about life. Because if you don't work, then how do you survive? And if you don't, and if I have to take care of your survival, then now your problem, or you're not working, or you're not being a productive adult, is now my problem.
Okay, and I see where you're coming from. Certainly, if somebody doesn't work and they need governmental assistance or something like that, and a worker is paying into their taxes to help with that, some might interpret that as it becoming their problem. But those are all still laden in people's values, and their work values, their values about life, about society. People who are in the other situation, they have a very different value system. And that's muddy water to walk through with somebody. Like when a client comes in or if anybody were to come in, you need to work from their value system.
But now, will me talking through it make my value better? Because sometimes I may have, I can't work. I may have mental or physical limitations that cause me not to.
Right, and there are people out there that truly can't because of
and
that.
And it's okay.
There are some.
And that's great. That's fine. But I'm talking about we have able-bodied people who need to talk through their situation. Maybe they don't get along with people, so they don't like to work.
Mm-hmm.
Talk through their situation. At least they can coexist.
So what I would talk about with that person is you don't want to go to work because you can't get along with people or you're annoyed to go to work or you don't like working. Let's talk about what in your life is reinforcing that and what in your life is making this easier for you, what in your life is hindering this. So, for example, not going to work means I don't have to accept responsibility. Not going to work means such and such is helping with me with my bills maybe. Not going to work means I don't have to face myself in the morning and face my issues. Not going to work means I never have to learn how to communicate with people. So once I identify all those things that are reinforcing those behaviors, I'm going to start working on those one by one by one by one with somebody and dissecting them and breaking them down and talking about how that really isn't working for them in life.
Is those things that you're trying to correct, looking at those things,
mm-hmm.
do they get is that learned behavior? When they get to that point where, you know...
Is that environment, yeah.
Yeah, that's not mental health. That's behavioral. And we get that confused a lot. Like, you say, okay, there's people who can't work because they have a mental health issue. You know, maybe they're diagnosed with schizophrenia, and truly, they have an issue that is impacting their ability. But then we have, you know, people who have developed behaviorally or learned behaviors, and that is a different issue. That's not something that's going to be considered a disability and excuse somebody from having to care for themselves.
Hey, local call, your mic is on. Hey, Steve.
It sounds like you're talking about mental illness. Is that correct?
Yeah, we're talking about mental health.
First, I thought that was Diva, but...
No, that's not Diva, Dave. No, that's not Diva.
Well,
that's Dr. Brandy.
I like Diva, though. I'm okay with that title.
No, you don't want to be Diva.
No, I don't want to be Diva. Okay.
Go ahead, Steve.
American?
No, she's not.
Oh.
What
I have to say is that mental illness people or people with mental illness, they could work if they take their medication. Now, there are people with mental illness who do have a form of retardation, where they cannot, let's say, go out and earn a living for themselves, and perhaps they may need, like, the government to set them and help them.
But we're talking about self-sabotage, and so the question is, hold on, Steve, you just like yourself. The question
said,
is, can you work?
Yes, I can.
Do you work?
I have worked.
Okay.
In the past, when my mom, when she became sick and got disabled, I decided to, being that I was already on disability, I decided to stop working at a car wash and decide to take care of my mom full time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So that's what I'm doing right now.
Okay.
But, yes, I have worked at different places. I'm not going to say.
So the question is, and when we talk about self-sabotage, if I say that I have a mental illness and I have the ability to work, because I know when I go to Masco, and Masco, for those of you who are listening, is a place that we go that we have here locally where people who are mentally challenged have a place of work. And they actually make things. And they're pretty good at it. And it is funded and is operated with a public-private partnership. And they go to work. And they have a work ethic. But there are those of us who can go to work and don't go to work. And that's a problem. And when I say that is because, you know, when Mark asked, was this an environmental and or a behavioral issue
mm-hmm.
versus a mental health issue? But sometimes my behavioral issues will affect my mental health.
Yeah, certainly anything like that is interrelated. And I think what Steve has alluded to is, you know, sometimes we can work, but maybe we can't work. Maybe we have issues that make us not able to do maybe the job of our dreams or a job that we could get paid enough to fully finance ourselves.
Like me singing.
Right. But we can learn. Like Masco is set up to provide a job for people based on their developmental limitations so that they can still be contributing members of society and have that piece fulfilled within them of their desire to work, but we're not expecting an individual diagnosed with mental retardation to go and be a CEO of a company. We know that there's specific limitations in place, and so we provide those opportunities to them.
Dr. Brandy, I have a question. We only have about 5 more minutes.
Okay.
Inclusion, and I'm going a little bit off subject.
Are we talking education now?
Education, inclusion,
mm-hmm.
mental health
mm-hmm.
Limitations.
Mm-hmm.
Inclusion. Is it a good idea to, I mean.
Tracy, there's research on both sides, and there's opinions on both sides of that. you know, we really have worked hard not to segregate people in today's society. I think that was, you know, huge movement.
That's true.
Even outside of the educational system. And so I imagine that's really what drove this. At the same time, though, you know, we want to make sure that we're realistic of people's expectations in these inclusion environments. And are they truly benefiting? I think it comes down to individuals. Is that individual benefiting from this situation? And how are the other students impacted by this?
That's my wife was a teacher.
She, oh, okay.
She just retired, and she was dealing a lot with that issue. In her class, she taught home economics, which involved knives. It involved baking, hot pans, grease, you know, hot oil, and yet there were students placed in her class that obviously had no business being there trying to mainstream them.
Did they offer them like a peer support or a mentor in the classroom?
Yeah, they would have a person in there, but the problem was the nature of what my wife was teaching.
It's dangerous. It could be dangerous.
It's dangerous, and it took, you know, it turned into, you know, major problems a couple of times. And those students didn't get anything out of it. And, you know, and that was a very sad situation. The only one who felt better was mom and dad.
Well, I imagine it would be hard for a parent to watch their child not fit in or be part of this social, the norm. I imagine that would be so hard for a parent. And, you know,
sure.
Any parent who's that's their child, that's going to be their main priority, and it is hard to balance that. What do we do to help this child that might have some special needs, and what do we do about the other children in the class that might be in a little bit of a different place? And it's not, I don't think we necessarily have it down 100%, but we've tried with the inclusionary classroom, but it sounds like they're still refining the process by putting more peer supports in the classroom, putting more assistants in the classroom, but there probably does come a point where somebody isn't appropriate.
And it's always interesting the approach that they take. It's not what's best for that particular student. The goal is to get the student in over here, but on the face of it, it doesn't do anybody any good, especially the student.
Well, hopefully,
the student would be better with a different kind of class and a different environment where they're going to actually help the individual.
Well, you've got research on both sides there. Like, you're going to be able to find research that's going to support your theory and research that's going to support the inclusion theory.
I'm going to tell you about one of my pet
peeves.
No,
you can't tell them because we've got to go.
Oh, okay.
Dr. Brandy, can we do that next month?
Yeah.
Can we talk about inclusion, do some research, bring it in, and let people know? And we'll start plugging that because people have children who have special needs. They do have ADHD. They do have severity of mental illnesses.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about what makes it, because sometimes the parent has to say, listen, I don't want you to put my child in AP when I know my child can achieve AP. I just want my child to be a functional at the level that they can function at the best that they can. Challenge them and move them forward, but don't push them to where they can't be productive in it and they become failures. And when we talk about fear of success, fear of failure is just as bad as fear of success. You've been listening to Dr. Brandy from Turning Point Counseling. The number is 347-945-5229 here at Tracy and Friends. We'll see you guys in a moment.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our Crisis Stabilization Unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Fire. A 56-year-old man was found dead inside a motorhome destroyed by the fire. President Obama says he's hopeful Secretary of State John Kerry's meetings today with his Russian counterpart in Switzerland can yield a concrete result on Syria. The president meeting at the White House today with his cabinet.
The American people are still interested in making sure that our kids are getting the kind of education they deserve, that we're putting people back to work, that we are dealing properly with a federal budget, that bills are getting paid on time.
House Speaker John Boehner says Republicans will insist on curbing spending in the latest fight over the debt limit. Michelle Obama in Watertown, Wisconsin today to promote drinking water, accompanied by actress Eva Longoria, and Lawrence Soler, the CEO of Partnership for a Healthier America.
You are what you drink, and when you drink water, you drink up. It's that call to action, drink up.
Gas mileage window labels for used cars. The federal government says labels showing miles per gallon and pollution ratings can now be downloaded or viewed on the website fueleconomy.gov. This is ABC News.
Police called and broke the bad news to Charles. His personal and financial information was found on an identity thief's computer disk. Nervous and confused, Charles called LifeLock, the industry leader in identity theft protection. LifeLock went into action, uncovering multiple fraudulent credit applications the identity thief was trying to open in his name. LifeLock shut them down and helped him restore his good name and credit. Charles found out the hard way that identity theft is a global crime, a crime that's become so complex, you simply can't fight it alone. Your personal and financial information is everywhere. Don't wait for a call from the police before you take action. Visit LifeLock.com now or call and mention promo code AWARE to get a special 10% discount. Call 1-800-305-2203. 1-800-305-2203. 1-800-305-2203. See LifeLock.com for details. Network does not cover all transactions and scope may vary.
Lawmakers in California trying to crack down on employers who ask potential employees for their social media passwords. Details from ABC's Alex Stone.
It's already a crime for private employers here in California to demand access to social media accounts like Facebook and Twitter of potential employees applying for a job. But under a new bill, public employers like police and fire departments would also be banned from demanding social media passwords. The State Sheriff's Association and probation officers oppose a bill saying it would impact the way they investigate potential employees. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
A tipping point in the world of personal computing. By the end of the year, tablets will outsell laptops and desktops. The fourth quarter of this year, analysts say about 1 million more tablets than laptops or desktops getting shipped to retailers. And the most popular tablets will sell for under $350. Joan Bennett, ABC News.
My wife is amazing. After 27 years of marriage, she's so full of energy and life.
My wife is 56, and she's just as gorgeous and vibrant today as she was on our wedding day.
What's the secret the wives of these men are in on? It's Ambrin, a leading formula for women over 40 that's clinically shown to help balance hormones and relieve symptoms of menopause. And right now, you can receive a free sample of Ambrin. Call now and ask for your free sample of Ambrin at 1-800-424-7690. That's 1-800-424-7690.
Bosch is the quietest dishwasher brand in the U.S., and now Bosch dishwashers feature a new third rack that gives you 30% more capacity compared to Bosch two-rack models. See yours at your local Bosch retailer today.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. from local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, good afternoon, and welcome back to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. It's 6 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock, and the number, the phones are up, the computer lines are up. There are people inside of the chat room when I find them. Alex is up. South Carolina's on. If you want to go into Blog Talk, the chat room is up. We're here. It's Health and Wellness Day. And what?
Uh-oh.
That was Mark. it is Health and Wellness Day, so today I'm eating healthy. And right now we have Doris and John Bullock.
I mean, you're going to tell me the healthy people, the healthy eating people are going to be here.
Yeah, I told you it was health and wellness.
Yeah, but there's health and wellness and there's healthy eating.
We haven't gotten to eating yet.
I have to make sure I get my money's worth out of my Lipitor. So
you haven't seen Dr. Mason yet.
No.
He comes on next.
Oh dear.
Hold on just a second. 216, your mic is on.
Hey, thanks, Tracy. I'm wondering if we could talk about something else, if that's all right, if we could talk about race relations for a minute. Is that appropriate for today or no?
No, you got to call in tomorrow.
Should I call in tomorrow?
Today's Health and Wellness Day.
Let me say something about what you were saying a minute ago about inclusion. I have a daughter who's mentally challenged. She's probably partially retarded. And she gets pulled out of class for math and reading, which is great. But the rest of the time, she's in the normal classroom. And what a waste of time it is. I so wish she could be in a different class all day long. You know, she sits in social studies. It just goes right over her head. Just a waste of time.
The second Thursday of next month, Dr. Brandy and I, we're going to do the whole show, that whole hour, on inclusion. And mental health, because that is a topic that we need to have a serious conversation about, because it affects so many in so many ways. And there's a way to understand that I have limitations without being demeaning behind it. And I think, and as we were growing up, those of us who are in our 30s and beyond, 40s and beyond, when they had segregated mental health and what they call them special needs classes, they demeaned them. You don't demean people because they're special, because they're different. What you do is you tell them because they're special, you make sure that they're taken care of and they are included, and you embrace them, and then you teach others who think that they're better than other people that they're not. But there is a crap that goes with that. But what has happened is we have not – it's like when I see parents who have children who are special needs, I realize that those parents must be pretty special for God to give them a child to be that special. But we need to talk about
that. That's a beautiful thing to say. I love that you just said that. Thank you.
You're welcome. And I'm serious about that. We need to understand that. But we need to also understand that you should not put a child with special needs into a rocket science classroom and think that they're going to become one at the end of the day, because what it does is it causes other people to limit their challenges and their ambitions. And what we need to do is we actually really need to teaching students based upon each individual student, not based upon them collectively, because all children learn differently, no matter who they are. But that's next month.
All right. Well, thanks, Tracy. I'm going to try to call
back
tomorrow.
Oh, please do, because tomorrow's open mic, so please do. We can really jump on that tomorrow, because I got
okay. All right, great. Thanks. Okay.
Thanks. In studio with me is Doris and John Bullock from Fit Family. And Fit Family is located over in Austin Town, and they have one of the nicest gyms that you can actually join.
Whoa.
It is a family-oriented gym. It is a group of people who really are concerned about, that's concerned about people and not about your physique, but about your health and wellness. Did I get that right?
That's exactly right.
There are people there from all over, and they come from all over to come to Fit Family. And it's a gym that you don't have in your home, but it makes you feel like home. So if you want to be independent, you can be independent. If you want to be a chatter, you can be a chatter. If you want assistance, you can get assistance. But what you do is you don't have any stresses on working out. They just help you get your exercise in and become healthy. What?
I wasn't even going to go there, but that's okay.
What?
Well, can I interject one thing?
What?
Well, thank you again for having us again.
Yeah, right.
But we do something different than most gyms. You said that they can get help. When you join a gym, normally what they do is they take your money and they say, well, here's the gym, and that's it. We don't do that. We do an assessment of the individual. So, you know, we find out what kind of health history they have, what kind of situation they're in at the current time, and what are their goals. And then from that information, we give them a free personal training session. So a certified trainer will take them out on the floor, show them how to utilize the equipment the correct and proper way so that they can have the quickest results or the best results. And that's different and unique than most gyms do. So I think I wanted to highlight that.
And you guys got a great Real Rider cycling studio. Okay. Hi, Miss Doris. How are you? And then they've got a wonderful Pilates class with this.
I didn't think you would bring up the Real Riders since we've been trying to get you on there for 2 years.
Uh-oh.
I'm sorry. I
John, listen. It's right. Can you listen? I told you I like the bike. It's the butt seat I have a problem with.
Well, you can get a gel seat.
My butt's too big for the gel in the seat.
You can get pants with gel in them.
I need a pillow.
Well, a gel seat is like a small pillow.
No, I need a pillow. I need a bed pillow inside of my extra overlarge drawers
so
I
can take a nap. That's all it's for.
Okay.
Today I want to talk about apps. Exercise apps.
Yes.
I have five of them on my phone.
How
many
phone
do you have?
I have an Android Samsung S3. Got a cheap phone.
That's good.
And I have at least five or six exercise, you know, GPS, nutrition apps.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't using none of them.
Why?
Is my trainer in the room or what? Today I'm the host. But
okay.
Because I don't know which one to use. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you've got, I don't know.
There are numerous apps out there, and
I've downloaded
the best
them all.
The best one is the one you use that works for you. So if you find one that satisfies your needs, works for you, you should use it.
How do you know? And how do you?
Well, can I give you a suggestion?
Okay.
Here's what I normally do is I write down the things that I want to accomplish with the app, and then I just.
I want it to eat for me. Go ahead.
Oh my goodness!
I think this is going to be a long hour.
We're talking about technology that's probably 10 years from now. You know, you can it'll eat for you, then you can inject it into your system.
Yeah.
But anyway, what I was going to say, I think the best way to do that is to write down what you want to accomplish, and make sure you have the important points. And then you just click on the app because they always have a brief summary of what the app will do for you before you put it on your phone. And just go through that summary and see if that app achieves those type of goals. That's what I would do. What do you think, Dee?
I agree. And you also told me you walk every day to walk your dog. So if you walk every day, you should be using that app to determine how many miles you're walking or how many not miles you're walking. And also to calculate, like, your heart rate and how fast you're going and how long it took you to do that mile.
Now, it tells me that they have apps that will actually monitor your mileage,
mm-hmm.
like a pedometer.
Right.
It will track your heart rate.
Correct.
And your nutrition?
Yes.
Well, they also will track you from a GPS standpoint. For instance, where you walk.
How fast?
It also tracks the amount of distance that you go, and some apps will also you can put together a plan on if you want to achieve a certain amount of mileage or some type of resistance
No, they will do. You can put a plan in there, and it'll tell you where to go.
So, okay, the number is 347-945-5229, South Carolina, Alabama. Alex, your mic's on. Mark Manchie's in studio with me, and Doris and John Bullock are here and joining the conversation. We'd love to have you in, because I'm glad we're doing this, because I have. Okay, I'm going to start from the A's.
Oh, jeez.
What?
Well, while you're doing it, there's an excellent app. It's called Endomondo, okay?
I've got that one, too.
You have that one, too?
I've got that one, too.
Well, I thought I was going to say something new and different.
Okay, Endomondo.
How do you spell that?
There you go, right there.
E-N. What is it? E-N-D.
Okay.
E-N-D-O-M-O-N-D-O?
Yeah.
I have that one. I have that. Let me see. Hold on. Let me get the
that. That particular app will actually tell you what's going on while you're doing it.
What do you mean, what's going on while you're doing it?
How does it work?
What do you mean, it'll tell you what's going on while you're doing
well,
it?
Well, actually, what you need a heart. If you want to know what your heart is doing also, you need to put a heart monitor on, and it's a specific heart monitor that you can use for this.
Oh, my.
So,
you've gone too far. You're making a spend more money than $1.99 for the big app. Go ahead.
Well, it's a free app. But, you know,
but the heart monitor is $39.95, but go ahead.
No, $39.99.
Okay.
No,
okay.
It'll tell you where you're going, what you're doing, how fast you're walking or running or riding a bike or canoeing. It has numerous type of activities that you can utilize.
Okay.
You know, if you're rowing, you know, if rowing is an exercise that you love,
it'll tell you what
it'll.
Isn't that amazing that your phone can tell you what you're doing?
It's amazing.
These
phones can do everything now.
They can do everything. Of course, I got a BlackBerry. It does nothing. But that's.
Well, I'm pretty sure you can download those. You can download those apps through that also.
Your tablet. This Map My Run.
Yes, Map My Run is excellent.
Is it better than Map My Walk?
Well, if you're walking, it's better for you to get the walking one. But if you're running, it's better for you to get the running one.
Okay.
So with Map My Run, it also monitors your heart rate. It'll tell you your distance. It will tell you how fast you've gone, your run, how fast you ran it. It will. You can compete against yourself. You can compete against people that are on Facebook. It goes into a lot of different details.
Yeah, you can create challenges for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And
motivate you.
It's this number. What's really good about these type of apps is that you can look at the history. So, you know, if you know what your heart rate should be and you're trying to challenge yourself, and let's say you want to get it up to like 120 today, you want to get it up to 130, well, then you know what you did to get it to a certain point, so it'll tell you that, and you'll see the history, which is really good. When I'm training someone, I usually try to utilize their heart rate, and if they have, especially if I'm training for running or something like that, I make sure that they know what their heart rate is, so we don't go beyond the point of no return.
Okay.
There's workout trainer.
Yes.
Yep.
Virtual gym. That one will actually, you can go on and you can pick different exercises, like if you were doing kettlebell. If you're doing free weights, machines, pick a workout that you want to do, and actually it'll put it together for you. So just you pick and choose what you want.
Now, do I carry my phone on my side, or do I...
When you're doing
what? When I'm working out. So say I'm doing weightlifting or I'm doing rowing.
You can buy a strap that actually attaches to your arm and put your phone in that.
Yeah, you can put it in your pocket, or you can put the strap.
So if you're out walking or running, it's going to measure distance. They can follow. Mm-hmm. It's done through GPS. Son of a gun.
Yeah. Or if you before you even started to walk or to run, you can put into some application. This is what I want to do. Okay, this is what I want to achieve. So you know, if you're running through like Mill Creek Park, it'll map that out for you. That kind of thing.
So you want to get a mile in, and it'll tell you, okay, you're at a half-mile point here. And it kind of, like, encourages you, too, because sometimes if you're running, it's hard to run and stay motivated. You have your music playing, but the program will actually come through and say, you're at your half-mile marker. You've done a good job. Keep going, pushing. And It's
for some people to say, get your butt in gear and pick up those feet. No, I won't.
Yeah,
I won't do that.
That's for me.
No, I won't do that.
That's for me. So now, which one will do that? Is that Map My Run?
Map My Run will do that.
Endo
will do that.
Endo Mono will do that.
Mm-hmm. And Running from Nike will also do it.
Yeah.
Now, Running from Nike, that actually has a huge thing of accessories to go with it, doesn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Yeah. It does.
Garmin is another good system. It'll do the same thing. Garmin has their own unique system, which is that you can utilize, well, all of them you can utilize your computer to you know, map your history and know what you're doing.
Hey, guys online, do you have anything to say?
I'm listening. Tracy, it's Mike
yeah.
from South Carolina.
Hey,
hi.
Hey, Mike.
I'm listening to these two beautiful people you have on. I'm going, now that's the kind of gym I could go to because you get the TLC. I mean, these people, you can feel their love umbrella. They really care about you, Tracy, because they're putting up with some of your worst, I'll tell you.
Yeah, like me.
So what I was wondering this is a political question. Are you two available to close your gym, go to the UN, and settle this Syrian thing? Because you guys are so accommodating. And so, you know, and it's like, can you help us out and then go back to the gym?
No. I think we need a foreign policy app.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, first of all, thank you very much, sir.
The way they explain apps to us Luddites and everything else, it's incredible.
Well, first of all, sir, thank you very much for saying that about our gym. Our gym is a family-oriented and personal-oriented type gym, so that's why we try to treat everybody to the best of our ability, you know, knowing that you can't please everybody, but we try to do the best we can.
They do a good job over there. And it's a great gym. It's a great gym to go work out. The equipment is great.
Name of it is again
Fit Family.
Fit Family. Where are you guys at?
In Austin Town.
Where in Austin?
Right on 46. Okay. That's now Canfield Road, Suite 200.
Austin Town Amatory Hospital.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Where you're at?
Yeah. Right across from. The other hospital, what's it called?
Community Valley Care.
Valley Care. They're right
yeah.
across from there. We've been there for 7 years.
I have to get my Austin Town references because they don't kind of fit in with the topic of conversation.
Hey, the number is 347-945-5229.
There's also apps for nutrition.
We'll
like
I'm going to take a break.
Okay.
Come back for nutrition because I want to stick with
sounds
the fitness
good.
For a minute.
Okay.
Because the... Yeah, go ahead to Alabama.
Leave the mic off.
Okay, I turn the mic off. You don't want to hear my commercial?
I'm in Atlanta. What I want to hear about something up there in that Ohio for?
I second that, Alabama.
Well, listen, just on that note, I'm going to take a break. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll be right back.
Everyone faces challenges.
I wanted to ask a question.
To the people?
Yeah, I did. I just wanted...
when they're in the studio,
though,
I don't think we can talk to them during the commercials.
I know. I was just trying to see about what they thought about, like, how you should rest between sets and stuff. Like, I've been hearing different conflicting ideas about it.
Yeah. I've been working out since I was a teenager. That goes back half a century almost. And it's like you get so confused because every 2 years somebody's got a new theory.
Yeah. I remember I was in high school. I used to go to the gym, and the guy told me not to go down real low on the squat rack, right?
Yeah.
And this guy is about 300 pounds. I mean, not big, but, you know, real big, muscular guy, bodybuilder.
Yeah.
So I start doing it like he said.
Mm-hmm.
About 3 months later, another guy come in there just as big. He competes. Hey, man, you're not getting the full range, man. You got to go all the way down.
Yeah.
I said, what about my knees? Man, it ain't going to happen to your knees.
Yeah.
But, you know, so I said, you know what? I'm just going to make up my own way.
Yeah.
And when somebody say something to me, I say, well, thank you. And just keep doing it the way I want to do it.
Yeah, you know, and it's low weight, high reps, many cycles. Change the weight and do different reps for each one, progressive reps, you know, progressive weight, you know, and it's after a while you go. Oh,
I went to the gym with my friend. He was like, man, you're not getting the full power out your arms, man. You know, I worked out with these power lifters, man. I'm like, look at what you said. You said power lifters.
Yeah.
powerlifters arch their back. They do stuff. You know, when I lift, I try to put – I lift my legs off the ground. I don't want to cheat. So I'll take my legs and just be straight. You have a flat back and just rep it out.
Yep.
But no, he said, no, you want to put your feet down and spread them and arch your back. I'm like, man, I'll be done pop my back loose and I ain't got time for that.
Yeah, yeah. When I was a teenager, I was a skinny kid, and I could put more than my own body weight by about 50% up over my head. But the way I had to do that was I had to dive for it and literally take my feet off the floor, jump, dive for it, snatch it, and throw it up in the air and step under it, you know? Because, you know, I didn't have the strength to just stand there like, you know, and just pick it up, you know? But that's the only way I could handle that. But, man, everything had to be right, you know? You had a loose shoelace or something, you were going for a ride. You were going to wear a barbell, you know?
So, I mean, I like working out, but now one thing I noticed about the gym that I don't like, most people in the gym are vain, and they compare them, they're real competitive.
Yeah.
Instead of just going to the gym just to work out, most people in there, they looking at you, looking at how much weight you. I go in there, look, I ain't over 205. I'm not lifting over 205. I'm not trying to go all high.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to feel good.
Yeah, exactly. So,
I don't even hit the bench a lot. Everybody comes in, they got to hit the bench.
Well, I'm listening to these two people talk, and probably the kind of gym they run is the kind of place you'd be very happy at, because it sounds like it's a family kind of thing, and you know, the wannabe Mr. Universes don't probably go to this kind of place, you know?
We
hands-on and very loving, and, you know, I mean that as a compliment. You know?
Yeah.
They run the kind of place where
the perfect gym to me has a basketball rack. I mean, if you don't have basketball, then it's not a good gym.
There you go.
To me.
Yeah.
I mean, some people think different, but to me,
if
you got a good floor where you can go out there and shoot around, play a little ball, and you can lift, you're in a good situation.
Yeah.
Because I hate sitting on a cardio running in the same spot for an hour.
Yeah.
It's just boring. I could play basketball, play 3 games of 21. I burnt 600, 700, 800 calories.
Yeah.
And I don't even feel it, you know. I mean, I'm sweating, but I'm not just, you know, you play defense, you know, just for fun. That's what I do.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, when I worked more construction, especially when I was younger and I did a lot of climbing, you know, steeplejacking and stuff. I mean, you didn't need to work out. You know, I mean, you know, I had a 29-inch waist and a 42-inch chest, you know, because, you know, you pull them like that, climbing that rigging all day long. There is no middle left in you, you know.
Well, you know, let me ask you something. So this is the thing. I used to be a produce manager.
Yeah.
And I used to munch on fruit all day.
Yeah.
Primarily pineapples.
Mm-hmm.
I had ulcers in my mouth. I mean, I ate so much pineapple.
Yeah.
That's all I ate, pineapples and strawberries all day.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in shape, burned. I lost, you know, and I thought I was overweight because I wasn't working out. I stepped on the scale. I was 205. I had got down. I'd lost maybe 15 pounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's kind of – but I don't like that type of weight loss.
Right.
I'd rather work it off with muscle than just moving. And it seems to me that most exercise nowadays – all you have to do is come up with a new way to move, and you can create some DVD and make millions of dollars.
Yeah.
You know.
Well,
if people haven't figured out, just move.
Yeah.
Move your legs and your arms, and you'll lose weight.
Well, they've done all kinds of metabolism studies, and this you can take to the bank because this is now proven science. The more muscle you have, the higher your metabolism, because muscle. Your brain doesn't use that many calories. It's the muscles in your body that use calories. And so the more natural muscle you have, a higher set point metabolism you'll have. And that's why they're saying that even if you have a sedentary job like in an office job, just the physical act of standing on your feet.
347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It is 30 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock, and as you guys know, second Thursday of every month, it is Health and Wellness Day. And in studio with me is Mark Mangi. You know, he said, can I come in? I'm like, yes, health and wellness, babe. Come on in. He's like, I can do health and wellness. And so he gets to meet my friends that show up on the first Thursday.
Yeah, but now I'm feeling kind of bad because I'm anything but healthy and well. I just
the issue is we may not today be healthy and well, but we're going to get a mindset to begin to think about becoming more healthy and wellness. Because, you know, we talk about political stuff a lot. We talk about the Affordable Health Care Act. And people really need to understand that the Affordable Health Care Act is going to your outcome or your success in your health and wellness plan for what you pay, for the exchange that you're in, for everything that we talk about we despise politically, is going to be tied to how healthy you are and your quality of life. It is. Because you're going to pay for smoking. You pay for smoking now on your insurance. You're going to pay for being overweight. You're going to pay for being having diabetes, especially type 2. You're going to pay for things that they think that you're hypertension. And so we're going to have to take a mindset of being cognizant of our everyday health, what we eat, what we do, because America has now decided it wants to have hope and change. And with that change, you're going to change.
Tracy,
it just is what it is, whether you like it or not.
Tracy,
question.
Is that the way the bill is written now, where you'll actually be rated that way based upon your, or is that what we're hoping it'll be someday?
No, that's how it's rated.
See, I have no
problem doctors actually going to be rated also. Doctors and hospitals and all kind of health facilities that are in the business of helping people or giving some type of health coverage to people will also be rated, which will help to eventually reduce how much we pay for health care. That's the ultimate plan.
I mean, you've got insurance companies now paying for your fitness center.
Mm-hmm.
There's Silver Sneakers,
right.
And there are health agencies, the health insurance companies that will pay for your gym membership.
Well,
you need to find out who.
Well, there's a lot of them. There's 40 to 60 different companies. They're under an umbrella company that's called Healthways, which created the criteria for them. But they pay for senior citizens and some people that work
that
for
working.
Various companies.
Yeah, that's correct.
To come to the health facility, and their membership is free. And but the facility has to be certified. We're one of the few certified facilities in the area that accepts that type of membership.
And also, and you need to check with your insurance provider to see if they pay for your fitness center, and then call Fit Family. There's a great location for you to go and take a look at.
Yep.
I mean, Mark, you looking? You didn't know that?
I didn't know that. I'm trying to think. I'm thinking about my health care plan. And
I'm trying to look think of mine, too. I have to ask them during the break. But
yeah, I got to go look at the book when I go home.
But I know they do. And so, and with the new Affordable Health Care Act, a lot of that's going to be converged together. And so you need to understand that the better health you're in, your health rating is almost going to be like your credit rating.
Well, we need to
like
understand
also.
So yeah.
I'm going to try to just jump in because I see everybody. I wanted
go
to
ahead.
Ask a question.
You can ask
I had
a question.
Few questions. One question was, how long do you guys advise to wait after a workout to take protein? Because I've heard that you should wait at least an hour and a half before you take it. And I heard also the second end of the question, the body can only handle up to 20 grams at one serving. So you can't just – you take 50, 60 grams, you're wasting your time. Is that true?
Do you want to answer that?
Well, it's true. Everybody's body is different, so you have to know how your body reacts. But an hour is basically the average amount of time that you should wait. As far as the grams are concerned, I don't know the specific answer to that, but I would say you'd have to
based on body weight.
Yeah, it's based on your body weight, metabolism, and how your body reacts to that. So I don't think there's any set specific amount for that.
Well, you say react, what do you have, like gain muscle over time? That's the only way you'll know?
Say that again, please.
When you say react, what do you mean? Do you mean gain muscle over a set period of time, and then that's how you'll know? Or, I mean, what do you mean by react?
Yes.
Usually when you calculate, there's a calculation that can be done based upon your age, your weight and height and everything that's it's put into it that will tell you how much protein that you should consume. Some people consume way too much protein, and they think that that's their way that's going to help them to lose weight. You can, your body actually needs fat. It needs protein, and it also needs carbs. So they all work hand in hand. So you have a certain percentage of each one that you should be consuming a day. So there's a calculation for that. And there's apps out there. You can go on the internet and search it, put in your height and your weight. It'll tell you your BMI. It'll tell you how much protein, how much carbs, how much fat, and all that should be worked out between you. And then plus, too, I mean, check with your doctor, too. I mean, if you have some other things with medication and all those things work hand in hand.
Well, let me ask you this. Why is it when you're I remember when I was 29, they measured my body fat right before my birthday.
She's been
in Alabama.
She's my wife in Alabama.
She answered the question.
Go ahead. I thought we were talking about health. I mean,
Alabama. She said you said when I was 29. She said you answered the question.
When you was 29.
No, I'm not finished. What I was saying was a few weeks later we measured the body fat. I'll say okay, now you're over 30, and it went up. And I'm like, I hadn't gained any fat in a few. That's what I'm saying. Like, why is that the scale they use is so off to me? Like, it doesn't seem
okay,
to be accurate.
So what scale did they use in order to measure your body fat?
They ask me my age, and then they give you this little thing. You sit there, and you stand, and you hold it.
Okay, so that
and I said,
right
well, why
there,
my fat went
it,
up?
It,
I have
it,
been,
it,
I've been watching my diet. And the guy was like, well, your age went over 30, so it's different now.
It is different, but it also, depending on the time of the day, depending on how much water intake, there's other factors that go into that. It's not 100% accurate. So the most accurate one is the water one, where they have to dip you under water, and you have to release all of the oxygen in your body before they put you down. I mean, all of the oxygen that's in your lungs. You want to hold your breath. They put you under the water. That's the most accurate one. So you can put in a plus or a minus. It may be plus or minus 2, plus or minus 3. It just depends on you and how much water you've had, how much caffeine you've had, if you ate over the amount of food that day. There's a whole lot of things that come into play with that.
And there's a very important point that Doris has said, the plus or minus, and that's relative to a lot of things. So that's why you probably saw a difference. You know, you'd have to have a perfect written plan and follow it for a couple weeks, and then do both tests to have it be more accurate. But because it's always going to be, it can be relevant also to the atmosphere, what's going on around you.
I know.
Did we answer
you
your question?
Hear.
I'm sorry.
Because when I was 29,
yeah,
I was 29,
I mean,
and
you know,
I had more energy at 29 than I do at 28.
Yeah.
So also, I mean, you're going to lose more muscle mass. I mean, as we age, we lose muscle mass, and our goal is to try to keep our muscle mass, but you're just going to lose it because you're getting older. You're not 29 anymore. Did he hang
you
up?
You still
on
there? Did you get mad? You get mad at us or something? What?
He's still there.
Yes.
Hello.
Frank Sinatra's song. When I was 29, it was a very good year. Remember that song?
I was thinking the same thing.
Alabama. I feel like we shocked Alabama. The show went from health and wellness to Dr. Phil psychotherapy. Alabama, you got old. Deal with
what
it, brother.
What happened to him?
I'm here. My thing was with the whole getting older. I mean, I don't feel like. I mean, I've seen people, older people. I mean, they're chiseled. I mean, in shape. Gray hair, 67. I mean, I don't intend on letting myself go, so I'm in the gym every day.
This is Alabama. Dr. Mason's getting ready to come on at the top of the hour, and we're going to talk about Zenobia. I may be pronouncing it wrong, but it's a laser treatment. And so,
does what?
What do you mean? Yeah, what does it do?
It actually chisels you and takes the fat
out of
your body.
Oh,
how much is
oh, that's the lazy man way. That's the lazy way. That's the full focus.
No. Wait a minute. No. Sometimes you got especially if I don't know about men because I can't speak to their issues. After a while, when women have babies,
mm-hmm.
sometimes the elasticity in their skin has been stretched that they will not. It will not snap back to the six pack they once had.
And maybe they never had six.
That's
true.
And so, and you can work out every day. You can do all that you can, but you will not get to that. But if that's the desired look that you want, you can go to a physician. You can get a laser treatment. Am I correct about
mm-hmm.
this? And we'll get the doctor in here, and it will chisel you out. Chisel.
They do that. A lot of professional bodybuilders do that too.
I just a little snippet when you said, you know, when you did, and so now we're going to find out a way. If you can't get it one way, we can get it another. There's more than one way to skin a cat.
That's right.
Well, yeah, there's people that I can appreciate some people that are in their age and they're still relatively chiseled, but there's also people that have worked out for a while and they get sick and they can't do the things that they used to do. So something like that might be useful.
And also, we can't pick our parents. Someone else that's a certain age may look a certain way. You guys work out together. You do the exact same things, but that person is a little bit more, has a little bit more definition than you do, or they weigh less and they just look better in the other person's eyes. But that's because of their family genes.
So let me ask you guys this. So you're saying
hold on, Alabama, hold up. Go ahead, Mark.
I wanted to ask you a little bit about metabolism. Mm-hmm. Because people say their metabolism is up, their metabolism slow. I've got a weight problem. I've always had a weight problem. And it's better when I walk than when I don't walk. And I don't walk enough. Those you hear, you're not walking enough. If you do X number of miles or whatnot, you burn so many calories.
Correct.
That's on the other hand, when I walk, even if it's around my very long block, which I talked to earlier, it's pretty much uphill,
mm-hmm.
I started walking again about 5 weeks ago. I can button my collar and my pants are getting loose. I'm going to have to take them in. I'm eating the same amount. And I can't believe that 15-minute walk makes a difference like that.
It does. It does. And you will find that a person that is thin wants to lose 5 pounds, it's harder for that person to lose that 5 pounds than it is someone that's a little heavier, and their metabolism is going to be a lot faster because the more weight you have on, you're going to lose it faster than that person that's thinner. Your metabolism is going to shoot up. So,
well, the other thing is
keep moving.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. But the other thing is true also is that when you're walking, first you're going to feel better. And you're going to lose a little bit of weight. But the other thing is going to happen, your body, your metabolism rate per day or per whatever hour is going to increase if you continue to do that. So you're going to burn more calories just because you're doing some type of activity than you were when you weren't. And that's a helpful thing for people to understand.
What about breakfast?
Breakfast is the most important
meal
that
you can eat.
Talk about breakfast a little bit.
So when someone speaks of breakfast, it's not against anything of the fast food because fast food has its place. But having something like a bowl of oatmeal or a piece of fruit, yogurt, things like that are all healthy things to have. But your proportion size, I mean, a lot of times when we look at our proportion size, when we go to eat, we pick up something like 4 pieces or 10 pieces of bacon. If you look on a serving size, 1 slice of bacon, a half a cup of oatmeal, that's what before it's been cooked. We don't follow the servings. We actually go over and above. So just pick your breakfast wisely. You want a protein. You want a little bit of fat. You want your carbs. You can have vegetables for breakfast. I mean, those are great. Just pick it.
If you want to lose 6 to 10 pounds in a week.
We don't go that way.
If you want to lose 6 to 10, if you want to lose 6 to 10 pounds a week, I can tell you that eating salad, 3 times a day for a week will help you to do that.
But let me say this.
A lot of people don't like balance.
Let me say this, speaking of that, and I am not good at it because I've learned that, you know, discipline and balance
right.
is the order of the day for anything that you want to do. You have to be disciplined to get the job done, but you have to be balanced in what you do. And just as a segue, so that we're talking about apps today. We are all holding on to a phone, either texting, Facebooking, reading, doing something, but we won't take time to find a nutrition app to log food that we eat so that we can track it. At one time, you had to carry a little tiny spiral notebook around to actually track what you eat. You can actually now scan it with your phone. It'll ask you, push a button, play with your phone, and it will actually put in how much you've eaten, and it will tell you exactly your nutrition count, your fat count, your calorie count. And there are several apps out there that will do it.
But also, if you put in your height, your weight, your age and all that, and you know what your intake should be, it's going to tell you when you've met that, which is nice about having
correct.
Those apps.
And it will do a countdown for you, so you'll know when you've gone too little or too much for your water or for the whole thing.
Yeah.
This is the issue. You have to have the discipline to do it and the want to, but it's out there, and we need to be – I know I'm guilty because I got more toys in a little bit, but I'm not using them like I should.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll be sit there, I'll play games,
yeah.
which are time killers. But I should, because it's right. You know, you can't ask for more than pushing in and taking a picture and saying, "Oh, McDonald's," and it shows you the whole menu of McDonald's, the whole nutritional value of McDonald's, and you can show
which one's the healthiest one that you should eat.
Right.
Yeah.
Or it tells you that you did what you ate. You can't eat this later on. It's so convenient now, but you can't be a fanatic. But we should be mindful.
Correct.
We should be, because I'm working at it. I'm trying to condition my mind, but that comes with discipline.
Can I add one more thing to your question? Your earlier question was about meals. A lot of people, and related to metabolism and what you were doing as far as exercise is concerned, breakfast is the most important meal, but you need to eat 5 times a day. 5 times a day, and the reason for that
many
is...
Many meals.
Pardon me?
5 mini meals.
Yes, 5 mini meals a day. And the reason for that is that every time you eat, that helps to increase your metabolism.
Okay. That I have not been a breakfast eater ever. And then I noticed I was meeting with folks in the morning, and I'd meet them for breakfast, and I'd have so far this week I've had breakfast Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and here's what
good.
I found out. At lunch and dinner, I'm not that hungry.
Yeah.
And it would be, I would have a sausage patty, a little
mm-hmm.
bowl of fruit, and an
mm-hmm.
English muffin.
Yeah.
And, you know, lunch came, I didn't want to eat that much, and dinner came, I didn't want to eat that much. So,
yeah, if you can look at every week in advance and try to plan how you eat your mini meals, it will tremendously help you. You will really not understand. You will be happy with the results after a period of time.
And just
walking like you're doing. Which is very important. That's important because you have the mindset to do what's necessary. So you just have to, like Tracy was saying, discipline yourself.
In my business, it's hard to do those sorts of things. So what I do, I've been doing the last two to three months, I park far away from the door at the plaza.
Mm-hmm.
I park far away from the entrance of the mall. And when I get out of my car to go into my office, I walk twice around my building before I go into the office to go to work.
And that works.
That's good.
And
yeah.
then I walk at night at home. When I get home, I go around my block. And
that's not bad.
Really
yeah.
big hill.
Well, you know what, though? Like, what I find interesting is that I heard a doctor say one time that it's impossible for certain people. They got their structure to get down to a certain weight, and then all of a sudden this big loser, the biggest loser comes out. You see all these people losing 150 pounds. They look like they never were overweight before. And it just disproves that theory that some people are just set to walk around overweight and there's just nothing they can do about it. You know, I think that's good because a lot of these doctors don't know what they're talking about in all types of areas.
One of the things that, I mean, what I dislike about The Biggest Loser is that that's their full-time job. They don't have to work. They don't have to get up in the morning and go to their job. They are on that farm 24/7. So they work out daily. They work out hours and hours. So there's no way that a person that has a life could do that every single day. There's no way. You can't live it. You have to enjoy life, have some things that, and have a job, and be able to survive. So The Biggest Loser, it does tell people that they can lose weight, but then it makes it bad because they see these people that are, you know, down on the floor doing 200 push-ups and things like that.
Whoa.
So if you did that and tried to do everything that The Biggest Losers was doing, you'd probably end up sick.
But let me ask you this. If I came, I mean, it's not real. Because, and
exactly.
let me also say this. Just like I said, Dr. Mason's going to come in here in the next hour. We're going to talk about sculpting. You guys realize that these guys have makeovers as they're going through. So when the slab comes down, because when you see them come down, you don't see the slab. And it's, they have done some altering for cameras.
Well, there was a show on MTV called I Used to Be Fat that has people doing the same thing, too.
But again, you know, television, even though they call it reality TV, they all need to call it real live TV because they are using a lot of scientific methods that you cannot afford. It's like when you look at Beyonce, she goes from 9 months pregnant to a six-pack in 2 weeks.
She had that baby.
I agree.
She did not have that baby. She on American Idol jumping all up on the table 6 months pregnant with a flat stomach. Get up, like, come on,
you,
man, that girl ain't had that baby.
Are you understanding? I mean, you have to understand they have some additives or some they have some ways that they're not being honest. They're being very, very disingenuous with the people.
They did have a little study afterwards. They sent to a lot of the personal trainers about The Biggest Losers and what the people did afterwards because they had so much skin that was hanging off their body. Their abdominals were hanging down to their knees. So they had to have a special surgery in order to get all this excess skin removed from them.
You
so
can't go from 400 pounds to 150 pounds and not have no flab.
Yeah,
it just don't work like that.
It's stretched out. It has to go somewhere. So it hangs down.
They call plastic surgery.
You know what? I even thought about getting the lipo one time because I was like, you know, I wanted to compete one time, and I was like, it would be so much easier. It's just like that guy was going to do it for like $2,000. I don't think that's bad. If you don't, tell me the rest of your life you ain't got to worry about those fat. That's bad.
Once you have that done, it's not. You think it's not going to come back. It just comes back to a different area. So if you have your, let's just say your thighs done, it's going to come back to the abs. If you have the abs done, it's going to go to the thighs or the butt. You get fat if you don't continue or change your eating. You're still going to get fat that's going to come back into the body. It's just going to go to a different area.
You know, we have to wait for, is Alabama, we have to wait for when the computer software comes out where they can say, well, this is where to go back to.
I think it was a good idea.
And they lose their butt when they get older, so, you know, we're going to have to wait till that software comes out.
It's coming.
coming to an app near you.
Yeah.
we're talking to Doris and John Bullock from Fit Family in Lawson Town, and the phone number is
330-793-4466.
And they have a great gym here. They have certified trainers. Certified trainers. They just don't look good. They've gone to school. They study what they do. They have a great roster. They have great classes. I am in a Pilates class that, Doris, I am consistent.
It's a good thing we're not on TV.
Is there a commercial break coming?
When she's late for a meeting, she says she has to do her Pilates.
Yeah. Don't believe it.
Now I know who
yeah.
I call.
Now you call me. You'll know.
I am consistent on my Tuesdays. Come on. Now, they make me work, but, you know, I'm consistent.
We were talking about apps today.
I know, but I like apps, and I've got to do better. I know I have to do better. I'm working on it.
Dee, what's a good rate for people to lose weight?
A good way?
Well, not a good.
No, you said rate.
Oh, rate.
Rate.
A percentage.
Oh, 1 to 2 pounds a week. That's all. 1.5 to 2. That's it.
No more, no less?
No more, no less. And there'll be times you'll lose maybe 4 pounds one week, and then the next week you may lose none. So, but just don't get frustrated with it. You just keep working at it.
What do you think of a sauna? What about a sauna? Because I heard you can't burn some calories in there because you're sweating.
You're sweating, but the minute you come out and you drink water, you put it right back on. You just
well, let me ask you this, though. If your body's using extending calories to extend the sweat, wouldn't it stand to reason that you are burning some calories, too?
You are burning calories. You are burning calories, but you're losing a lot of water through the sweat. And then once you sweat, it's actually going to go – once you drink water, it's actually going to go back into your system. So it just you're just sweating out.
So
I mean,
do you have a net loss of calories?
But saunas are good because they detox you.
Yes,
they
detox your body. It removes a lot of the sweat and the negative things in your body. But it's still not a way to lose weight. I mean, what's that doing for your heart? What's that doing for your lungs?
Yeah.
Well, look, reason being, you go in there and your heart rate's speeding up because you're in there. Your heart's beating real fast when you're in there.
That's because you're hot.
Yeah, but
that's
the correct answer,
you didn't raise your metabolism set point. All you did was overheat your body with external calories.
Exactly.
And your body trying to cool down.
That's exactly the point.
Right.
What your body has to, in order for you to lose weight correctly, your body has to change your metabolism, your rate of metabolism, so that it's burning excess fat and your body's not storing fat or storing excess weight. So you have to turn that around. And going into a sauna is not going to do that. You're just going to lose the water.
Yeah, and that's why a lot of these cheap diet things you see on TV are nothing more than diuretics. These
superfoods
and all that. And all you're losing is water weight. You're not really losing body
weight. I mean, I can respect the diuretic, but what I'm saying is if I'm sitting there, my heart rate is going up. The heart, you're extending calories because your heart has to beat. You're extending calories because your temperature has been raising. Your body's trying to cool itself. That's energy,
which is
burning
calories. How many calories have you lost?
Alabama.
I mean, even if you lose calories, if you're in there. No, let me ask a question.
You can't ask a question. I got to let them go. I've got to go to the next segment.
All right,
all right.
Stay up. All right.
You're listening to Tracy.
Hold that question to the next section so we'll try to answer it for you.
You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSON AM 600.
Thanks for the question.
The number is 347-945-5229. You're listening to Doris and John Bullock from Fit Family. We'll see you on the other side of our break.
Alabama.
Yeah. Let me explain what I meant by that. Let me explain. When they say
you, I totally understand what you mean. But your heart doing that little bit of work just to circulate your blood to cool you down is not the calories it takes to lose serious weight.
Hold on. Let me make a point.
1 pound.
Okay, go ahead. It takes 3,500 calories.
Yeah, it's 3,500 calories. You're not.
What I was trying to say was, but the point I'm trying to make is this.
Yeah.
If you stay in a sauna for 30 minutes, right, which is a long time in a hot, hot sauna,
you're staying
in 30 minutes.
Calories. You're going to burn
exactly.
About 200 calories.
Hold on. Now, meanwhile, you're sitting there, you got a gallon of water sitting there, you're drinking the water, right? You're trying to keep up with the water that you're losing. Let's say your body, even if you lose more, okay, we're going to get the water back. We all agree on that. But what I'm saying is, if it takes energy, your body has to extend to pump that blood for 30 minutes. And you burn 200 calories in those 30 minutes, while sweating is energy extended. Body has to do its metabolism, which is mitochondria in your cell are actually working. They're the powerhouse, so they have to work. That's why it stands to reason that it is some sort of calories lost. So you can't just say calories, because we're still calories just sitting at a desk.
Yeah, but here's the problem. You need 18 days of doing that to lose 1 pound of real weight.
No. I didn't say let's go on the sauna diet and sit there and talk.
And hang on. Here's the other part of the equation you're leaving out. When you sweat that much, you're hemorrhaging electrolytes massively. Most people only get the electrolytes that they need to replace from food. And what will happen is when you walk out of that sauna, you will kick in hunger to replace those electrolytes. And you will actually...
You know why I'm saying that? Because I do the sauna. You're right, but I do the sauna every day.
Yeah.
And I was 229 pounds.
Yeah.
I had, you know, I was real, you know, I wasn't fat, but I had been working out. I wasn't doing that much cardio. So I started getting on the treadmill, doing some light cardio for about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I was sitting in the sauna for 15, maybe 20, some days 30.
Yeah.
And the water just came off. And I think a lot of it was water, but I believe that you burn calories as well, because anytime the body does anything, if it's talking, chewing gum, sweating, pumping blood through your body, that is calories, and by default, you are burning calories. So,
yeah.
You know, as far as retracing the electrolytes, I don't believe in taking Gatorade, but other stuff, you're right. You can take certain supplements to kind
of
replenish that.
Gatorade has a lot of sugar in it, so you're replacing the calories you burn from the heat of the sauna, from the increased cardiovascular rate. You're replacing it with sugar that you take from the Gatorade.
And another thing, if you do the sauna every day and then you work out, which is going to burn calories while you're resting, and then if you do all this stuff together, I think in conjunction, it'll all work in a benefit. But I just don't – when people say it doesn't work, it's just water. No, you're burning calories.
No.
You're burning calories too.
Well,
they just said that.
Yeah, you are burning just for your heart pumping. But you know that light cardio you did? Because you were moving other muscles, probably burned 5 times more calories than you did in the sauna.
Well, let me ask you this.
By the way,
on the cardio.
Alabama, let me just share something with you. I worked in the weight loss industry for 12 years. I was an international trainer in that industry, and my client base was 1.15 million people globally in those 12 years. That was my client base. So when I give you facts and stuff, I'm basing it upon one hell of a research study. My individual.
I'm not disagreeing with nothing you're saying.
When I share something with you, I just want you to understand. I'm not the average Joe on the street when it comes to this. I do have a lot of knowledge, and my biggest all-time weight loss client was 427 pounds. I helped that man lose in 40 weeks. Okay? No, excuse me. He was 18 months. Excuse me. I'm thinking of a gal who dropped 400 pounds, but that was 40 weeks. That was another.
I don't disagree with people saying that you lose water weight when you go in a sauna. That's established. So that's a straw man argument.
Yeah.
We both established that.
Yeah.
But don't tell me that you're not burning calories in the sauna as well. Now, when you come out, you're going to be extra hungry, whatever. You're going to lose electrolytes, right?
Yeah, and you're going to replace that.
If you are intelligent in understanding that, if you have the knowledge to understand that, then you can act accordingly, is what I'm saying, and you can use that to help. That's all I'm saying. I'm not telling you to go and sit in the sauna for 6 months trying to lose weight and don't touch a weight.
No, that's lazy. Didn't say you're saying that.
And that's what I'm saying. It's almost when I hear people say that I disagree because I'm sitting. For one, I've done it. Secondly, I mean, I've been playing basketball since 1980. I've been around at sports athleticism for years. There are a lot of people that are knowledgeable about exercise and losing weight in America.
Yeah.
So that's all I'm saying. I'm not trying to say that it's just given that. You know, and just like with the way they say about the 5 meals a day, well, there's research proving that once you get around a certain body fat, that stops working. It tapers off around 15% body fat. Now you need to use a technique called intermittent fasting, which actually can take you down to 5% body fat. But it takes, you know what I'm saying? Now, had I said that, they probably would have disagreed, because I said it last time they were on there and they disagreed with me.
But
it was just like what we were saying on the last break about how people – everybody has their own way of looking at stuff.
Yeah, Sylvester Stallone, when he did the movie where he fought the Russian
in Rocky IV,
he got his body fat down to 2 or 3%. The guy hit him squarely in the chest one day, and Sylvester was in the hospital for 3 weeks because he literally moved his heart, and it was touch and go because he slammed him, and there was no body fat around his heart to protect him from the impact, and he damaged his heart.
I don't believe going up under 5-6%. I don't.
Yeah, you get down that low, you're in danger of damaging internal organs. That's why women have a subcutaneous layer of fat and they have extra body fat. That's to insulate them against shock and temperature changes when they're pregnant, so that the babies. Can
yeah, those bodybuilders. I think a lot of bodybuilders are cheating their bodies and shortening their lives
with
a lot of stuff they do.
Yeah.
I don't even think the steroids is what I think is a lot of it is the wear and tear. too.
Yeah,
the steroids, I know people did steroids a couple of months. You do them a few months. Look, I did them in college. You know, I did them for a while, but they don't do nothing. I mean, if you do them right,
yeah,
they won't do you like what they say.
They have proven that excessive exercise is just not good for anybody. And they keep saying in moderation. Now, moderation is different for everybody, but excessive exercise, people who work out, you keep tearing down your body that way. And, yeah, you can build it back up, but you are really running a dangerous genetic DNA game when you're doing that. You might as well be doing drugs if you're working out that hard. There's a lot of free radicals that are produced as muscle is torn down, and there's a lot of very dangerous oxidants and things produced.
Yeah, lactic acid.
Cells.
Yeah.
It's almost like a precancerous condition you're in. I mean, there's a lot of molecular.
Well, see, now you're getting into alkaline and acidity,
yeah, exactly.
Which I believe,
yeah.
I prescribe. I do believe that.
Yeah.
If you know, I believe in that, and
yeah.
That's why when we had the lady on yesterday,
yeah.
I was just talking about how they removed the free market from medicine, and they.
Yeah.
Got it down to like four or five companies
yeah.
that run the whole medical industry. And
yeah.
yet we have the illusion of free market medicine where really somebody can come out and heal something and they're shut down. Like she
yeah.
said, you can't say you're practicing medicine. It's illegal, which is a bunch of crock because
yeah.
if you can't say you heal something unless you're a doctor, unless you've been through their system, you can't say you healed something. That's stupid.
Yeah.
The only reason they did that was to stop competition
right.
from just like they did with banks and everything. It's the same guys that did the whole banking system are the
mm-hmm.
same people that set up the whole medical associate. They said that the same people.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like I say, you know, you got to find out what works for you, and that's what you got to do. What works for you, you know.
I mean, the whole sauna thing works to me. It works great. It works wonders because I feel like if you do that sauna. And then you're hitting the squat rack, which is a large group of muscles, which actually speeds your metabolism up faster.
Yeah.
You can do all this stuff. Then you do light running.
Well, that's why
I don't run no more.
That's why paraplegics
yeah.
have such a rough time health-wise because they don't get to use their legs. Your legs are the second most important muscle to your body other than your heart or to your heart. Your legs do more to circulate, and it isn't the blood they circulate. I mean, they do help with that. But what they do is they circulate the lymphatic fluid, that second system that nobody talks about, that if it gets clogged up with toxins, that's when you end up with all types of lymphatic cancers and everything else, you know. And your legs are the pumping organ that pump that, walking and stuff. And that's, I would say, probably more than cardiovascular help. Walking helps your lymphatic system, and I think that's where a lot of this disease comes from.
I get you. I'm back inside now.
Oh, you got knocked off there?
No, I'm in at my desk.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. But the bottom line is moderation and live a healthy lifestyle, and just don't do anything outright stupid, you know? Bungee jumping naked, you know, above rocks, that's not a good thing to do.
Today is Health and Wellness Day, and Mark Mann just came in and had sitting in with me on my second Thursday, so I'm glad to have him in studio with me. And he gets to meet all my friends that are coming in here. Oh, wrong one, Rick. I need a...
This looks like very technical stuff.
It is.
Jeez, oh, man.
Oh, okay. Thanks. And so we have the best people around in the city when it comes to engineers and stuff, even though they don't have the cords that I need. But Dr. Mason's here from Mason Wellness. And Mason Wellness is over in Warren. And is that what could be considered West Warren?
Yes.
And he has a great let me turn this off because I'm a brick house. Okay. He has a great practice out in Warren, and it is one that deals with a lot of things. And today, what is the name of the laser treatment that we're going to talk about?
Zerona.
I said Zenobia.
That's a restaurant. That's a restaurant.
And so earlier, you know, we talked about with Dr. Brandon, we got into the fear of success a little bit and just off conversation and with a little bit of everything that came to mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Doris and John Bullock came in from Fit Family, we talked about, apps, exercise. But then Alabama started asking about, you know, SLAB. And I mentioned that we were going to pull in, what's it called again?
Zerona.
Zerona.
With a Z.
It is with a Z, not with an X, huh?
Yeah.
So it's called Zerona.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a laser treatment. And before we go there, give me some time because I'm going to do some stuff over here. But I want to talk about a little bit about that in depth because when he was asking about it, you know, as I go to lose weight, there's stuff that will not go back.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't know if that'll do it. So how you been?
Fantastic.
You been having fun?
Yeah.
How's that patient Tracy doing?
Tracy's coming along. We got some work to start on next week.
How's Tracy? Is she behaving? A little bit?
From what I hear, yeah.
I got to tell you guys, Dr. Mason is very, very thorough. As thorough as you hear him explain things here in the studio, that is how thorough he is in his office. So when you go and visit him, he actually breaks things down and he takes time so that you understand where you are, what your needs are, and what you need to correct, what's going on with you. And so he has this patient called Tracy, and he sends Tracy home with a bunch of boxes, and he gives Tracy the instructions on how to do what she's supposed to do at home, her homework, to get it done.
He's assuming you're going to follow the instructions.
Right.
Okay.
And he talks in terms, you know, sometimes I just let, and so I found out that I was taking one test, and I was getting ready to take, what are they called?
Oh, you mean the chelation.
Chelation. Chelation goes in the bottle. They don't go with me.
Had it twisted around there, didn't you?
He called.
This is getting scary, Tracy. I don't know.
And if you guys don't know what a chelation is, go look it up in a dictionary. I'm getting ready to put it in the bottle and shake it up. It's an additive to me. Works for me.
Mm-hmm.
The other day I took my blood test, and I sent it in.
Uh-huh.
Now I want you to know, I got to get my mom up early in the morning to prick my finger because I sat there the day before, and I'm not going to do it. I don't think I'd be a good. I can't be a diabetic and have to test my blood sugar every day because I'm not sticking myself. Self-mutilation just doesn't work for me. What?
Try shaving, man. We, you know, we're
shaving's cool. You know, shave your legs, whatever. That's cool.
Prick it.
You know, shave your arms, whatever. That, cool. Prick, skip needles. No, I'm not gonna do it. Okay, I'm done.
Okay.
You let other people do it for you. They stick the needle in your arm to take your blood, and
that's okay.
That's okay.
That's okay.
Nothing to it. We do that on children.
Right, but children don't do it to themselves. The body is not meant for you to actually harm it.
If I knew it was going to be that much of an issue, I would have just taken care of it for you and gotten it done.
So I say that, and I encourage you guys when he's in here, either to call when he's here, but go out and visit him. I promise you I would not put anyone on here that I don't have confidence in to go myself. And I say that strongly. I try to find the best people out there, and I will say if you need a chiropractor, if you need a wellness center, Dr. Matthew Mason is one of the hidden talents and one of the best in the five-county Mahoning Valley area.
Thank you, Tracy.
You got to pay for that in the day.
Okay.
So what are we going to talk about? Where do you want to start?
Let's talk about diabetes today. You know, I think that's something worthwhile talking about. I mean, there's 26 million Americans in the United States that have it. And I think the estimate is like 70 million people have it and are not diagnosed. So, you know, there's obviously an epidemic of poor health and there's an epidemic of chronic illness in the United States. So, you know, we have a healthcare delivery system that is keeping us alive, but it's not keeping us well.
Okay.
And I think that speaks volumes. So we have to ask ourselves, well, why? Why is it not keeping us well or making us well? Well, it really comes down to is, you know, the money's being misspent. You know, we have trillions and trillions of dollars that are being dumped into a completely failed health care system. You know, I mean, so we should stop calling it health care. We should stop calling it Obamacare. We should call it for what it is.
What is it?
It's sickness care. It's sickness care and bankruptcy care at its finest. So in other words, you know, you're being forced into buying health care insurance for $15,000 a year, you know, and then in turn, what do you get out of that?
You know, you don't get much.
No.
You don't get much at all, truth to be told.
No, so, you know, in a blink of an eye, if you end up in a hospital, you know, you can spend $15,000. Or you can spend $200,000-$400,000, or if you have a complication, you're going to spend over $1 million. So that's sickness care and bankruptcy insurance at its finest. So in other words, if you don't have insurance, you know, they're going to, and you have a complication, well, they're going to take your house, they're going to take your car, they're going to take your son's and your daughter's college tuition, and you could be out on the street and you're going to be homeless.
Right.
So, I mean, what kind of diabolical mind would call that health insurance? I mean, that's sickness care and bankruptcy insurance at its finest.
Okay. So, what, I mean, I, you know, Dr. Daniel came on yesterday and we were talking about this a little bit. And in the conversation, she talked about, you know, Western medicine versus Eastern medicine and how we still are, not trying to find ways to make people well, which we're not. I mean, we just don't. That's just not what we're taught. Physicians find a way to keep you alive, but not keep you well.
Right. So
they don't try to get to the root of anything. What do people do? How do we change this paradigm to where? Because as I said, if I became diabetic, I would have a very, very difficult time with the simple things of just checking my blood sugar every day, just because I had to prick my finger.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, answer me this.
Yes.
What do we get? What do we get in return from the system for spending that $15,000 a year? Not much.
You get pills.
Right? Yeah. You get drugged.
You get a lot of drugs.
Get more drugs.
And the drugs don't always. I mean, if you look at some drugs have more side effects.
Listen, the leading cause of death in the United States is properly prescribed prescription drugs. It's not heart disease. It's not cancer. It's properly prescribed prescription drugs. Now, when you read the statistics that 150,000 to 200,000 people are dying a year because of properly prescribed prescription drugs, that's based on a hospital model.
Okay.
So, meaning that the, you know, it's only the people that are dying or the people that are in the hospital. In other words, there are zero statistics on people who are dying outside of the hospital. So there are millions of people that are dying outside of the hospital. So, you know, what are people doing outside of the hospital? They're taking anywhere between 7 to 10 and higher prescription drugs, and it's causing death.
So what kind of drugs? Give some examples. Well, if you start taking these drugs, I've got some familiarity with. I had an uncle who was 90 years old. They sent him up to detox in Cleveland. My aunt used to carry around a suitcase full of the drugs that he was on, and he was up in Cleveland for 6 weeks getting that stuff out of his system.
Yeah.
So how do you keep from getting onto the drugs?
We need to shift our healthcare system. We need to shift away of being drugs and surgery as being the primary form of someone's health care and treatment into the functional forms of medicine. So we need to use functional medicine. We need to use more natural forms of medicine like naturopathy, homeopathic remedies, more of natural holistic approaches. I mean, this is the way that medicine was practiced and should still be practiced, but it was basically abducted by the pharmaceutical industry.
So in taking holistic approach, and I'm a big believer in these kinds of therapies because I have benefited substantially on very specific things using homeopathic things and chiropractic and massotherapy, which has just been, you know, wow, on a whole level, different level of stuff. How do you make that happen?
Well, you have to get connected with natural healthcare physicians that are practicing these forms of healthcare. You know, otherwise, if you get caught in the medical merry-go-round of going in the conventional medical system, it's drugs and surgery. Those are the only tools that they have for you.
Are doctors, regular MDs, moving towards that direction? I know my primary physician, when I sit and I talk with him and he goes through a series of things with me, including some of the alternative therapies to use, that's something new, I think. I don't think that's been the case.
No, there's definitely a transition of medical doctors and DOs and such that are transitioning to more of a holistic approach to some degree because, you know, the conventional medical systems, it's broken. It's completely broken, and it's a complete abysmal failure. And people who understand that our bodies are designed to be self-healing and self-regulating,
Boardman
and that's designed to run on nutrients and vitamins and healthy food and clean air and clean water are taking that more of a natural holistic approach. Now, with that being said, integrative and functional medicine, what I practice, sure, I recognize that there's a time for drugs and surgery, but that plays a minimal role, not a maximal role.
So you're talking about after the illness is developed, they come and they see you, you look at holistic things. What do you do to keep them from getting sick in the first place? It started with diabetes. Let's talk a little bit about that. How do you get, what are the symptoms? What do you do to stop it? What can you do to treat it? And that's outside of giving yourself the shots every day.
Mm-hmm. Right. So diabetes, you know, there's type 2 and type 1.
Mm-hmm.
Type 2 is basically... for the most part, from poor diet, living a suicidal lifestyle by eating processed foods, by eating a standard American diet. So what happens is your pancreas, either it's not able to produce sufficient amounts of insulin, or your cells become what they call insulin resistant. In other words, the insulin acts as the key to open up the cell to allow the sugar, to allow the blood glucose into the cell. So what happens is the blood sugar gets too high in the blood, and your buffering systems in your body, and particularly in your blood, start breaking down, and your blood starts becoming acidic. So that acidity from that high blood sugar damages your nerve endings, right? Cause numbness, tingling, weakness, peripheral neuropathy, right? A lot of people, you know, don't think too much of diabetes. They think, well, you know, they think of it like a sore throat. Or as long as you're taking insulin, everything's fine and dandy, and they could eat whatever they want. But the reality behind that is, I mean, diabetes can take your life. It can take your limb, you know.
It can take
diabetes,
a life. Yeah,
you know,
it's a dangerous. It's a dangerous disease.
Yeah.
If you do not treat it.
So is it a function of how much you eat or what you eat?
Both.
Okay.
Both. It really comes down to, you know, if you're not exercising, if you're eating processed foods, if you're not putting things in your body that your body is not designed to have. Like a lot of processed foods, very, very detrimental to your body.
Processed foods being?
Anything that's in a box. Anything that's not a fresh, raw food. If it's not fresh fruit, vegetable, raw nut, raw seed, fresh, clean water, whole grains.
I got to give up my Diet Coca-Cola.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That stuff, you should avoid that stuff like the devil.
Tell us why. Let me say, slow this down, slow myself down. Tell us why Diet Coke is a detriment. Because I don't think a lot of people drink Diet Coke thinking it's healthier for them than regular Coke. And the more I read about Diet Coke, because of the additives in it, it's more dangerous than eating a 5-pound bag of sugar.
Yeah, because there's a lot of these artificial synthetic sweeteners, such as NutraSweet, you know, Splenda, aspartame, all these. And, you know, NutraSweet, aspartame, for example, when it gets metabolized by the body, it gets converted to methanol, and formaldehyde. It's what your body converts it to. So, I mean, it's been shown to cause seizures, memory lapses, basically just chronic disease, because it's been studied in depth by many people, especially Russell Blaylock, who's a neurosurgeon. And these artificial sweeteners, like MSG, for example, as well, are what they call neurotoxins or excitotoxins. Basically, they're like your cells are on cocaine, and it just causes them to basically burn up.
Whoa.
Yeah. I mean, it's bad stuff.
I haven't. I gave up drinking diet soft drinks years ago. I'd rather have a half a glass Coca-Cola as opposed to three glasses of the diet stuff. I don't even drink the Coca-Cola anymore. It just there's a lot of alternatives you can have. When I go out, I drink club soda. I don't know if that's any good or not. I put a little bit of lemon in it, and I like something fizzy.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if you want to have that every now and then, I don't think that's going to be the demise of you. But what I tell people is, you know, our bodies are 70-75% water. So you got to replace water with water. You got to keep your body hydrated with the cleanest, purest water possible. Because if you don't, you're going to be dehydrated. How do you expect your body to work? That's sort of like, you know, if you have your garden at home, and your plants like to have water just like we do, and if you don't water them, they're going to start wilting and they're going to start drying up. That's the same thing with us.
Is diabetes reversible?
Type 2 diabetes is really, most of the time, of course, unless they're too far gone, is really 100% reversible. And it all starts with diet. You know, you got to change your diet, you got to exercise, decrease your body weight and your body fat. So if you come to me, we're going to look at putting you on a nutrition and wellness plan. So we're going to look at what kind of foods you're eating, look at what we call the glycemic indexes, which is basically how fast that sugar, that carbohydrate, burns in that food. So you want something with low glycemic index where that sugar is burning slow, right, so it doesn't spike your insulin. You also want to do what we call digestive. We want to look at to see how you're digesting, absorbing, and eliminating, which is functional stool analysis, which determines your digestion. In other words, are you digesting, absorbing, and eliminating properly? So oftentimes with diabetics is, you know, since their nerves are being damaged, well, those nerves are also controlling your digestive system, right? So oftentimes their gut motility and their colon start slowing down. So absorption and digestion becomes impaired. So we look, put you on a nutritional plan, remove any kind of food allergies, food sensitivities, which can be disrupting your system, and then we can do some organic acid testing to see what your body may be lacking on a cell level, right? And then we use things of that nature.
Okay, let's go through some foods that I should or shouldn't eat. White bread.
Don't touch it.
Don't touch it. What kind of bread should I eat, if any?
You know, if you're going to eat bread, eat more of a whole grain bread, more like a sprouted grains. I mean, there's like a Ezekiel bread, or go to more of a gluten-free bread, like a Nudie's brand, things like that. Wheat is another big one on top of the list that a lot of people are allergic or reactive to, and it's causing a lot of problems.
So avoid the wheat bread also. Okay. Pasta?
You should keep that to a minimum.
So you're an anti-carb person.
I'm an anti-carb. I'm more of a raw food advocate. Try to consume a large portion of your food raw. A lot of your fruits and vegetables, raw nuts, raw seeds, like in big salads.
I got trouble, Tracy.
No,
I mean,
you don't.
He just took away my Saturday night dinner. I'm going to go eat potatoes and bread and prime rib, but I don't think any of those are on your
own. But let me ask you this. Do I have to give them up completely, or can I do them in moderation?
You can do it in moderation. You know, like I said, I'm not where I'm at today just because I woke up one morning and said, you know, I'm going to do this, this, and this 100% right. It's been a learning and educational experience for me. You know, I started this, you know, a healthy lifestyle back in my early teens. And the more that I learned, and especially when I went through medical school and started studying on my own and reading this research and really tying all the pieces together as far as what are foods and what these things we're drinking and eating and breathing every day, the damage that's causing our bodies, you know, you start transitioning to doing a lot healthier things. And in the process, you become healthier. I mean, I feel healthier today than I did when I was 18. In 18, I've had no health problems.
What do you do for protein?
You could still have meat. I'm not anti-meat. You know, there's people that could live very healthy being a vegetarian, and there's people that could eat healthy and be fine eating meat.
Yes,
so,
I have some issues with some of this stuff because I have a client, for example, who decided he was going to be a vegan. And, you know, I've represented this guy for a number of years, and I'll tell you what, he almost died. It didn't go well. I said, dude, you got to eat some meat.
You know what it comes down to? It comes down to, like, you know, say you look at the Eskimos.
Yeah.
The Eskimos, pretty much their diet consumed of, you know, whale blubber, right?
Yeah.
Things like that. I mean, they have high amounts of fat. Now, if you and I started eating whale blubber every day, well, we're going to get heart disease before you know it.
Yeah.
So it all really comes down to their genetics and the nature of who they are. Like a lot of Indians, you know. I mean, a lot of that's more of a modified vegetarian diet. It's not a lot of protein. So, you know, with us being like, you know, European, if we eat lots, you know, our genetics were basically from meats, potatoes, you know, grains, fruits and vegetables. So that's what our bodies have evolved on. Now, if we're going to switch, you know, we're going to say, well, I'm going to start being a vegetarian, that may or may not be a really good thing to do.
And it's not good for everybody.
No.
Some people would have a very, very hard time within their health if they were to become complete protein and or vegan and or non-meat eaters.
Right. I mean, I got some people that come in the office. I mean, they're really sick. I mean, they got major digestive issues. And, you know, they may pick up a book and see, you know, see the raw food diet. Like, wow, raw food diet is a way to go. I mean, it's the best thing since sliced bread. You know, but they can't tolerate raw food. In other words, their
digestive
tract
won't
can't
do
handle it.
But, isn't that amazing?
But if you remove allergenic foods from your diet and you actually put them on a nutritional plan and some drugless prescriptions to heal their gut and to heal the intestinal lining, then they could transition to a raw food diet. But just throwing something on it isn't going to happen.
So a raw food diet, I don't know. Talk to me a little bit about what
raw food diet, basically, like I said, lots of, at least the majority of your food be raw fruits and vegetables.
Okay.
You know, so any kind of dark leafy greens, you know, you name it. I mean, any kind of vegetable that grows on the earth, eat it. And doing things like juicing. I mean, very, very healthy for you because when you juice, especially like dark green leafy vegetables, and you're getting those concentrated nutrients, that's going straight into your bloodstream, straight into the cell. I mean, there's no digestion that has to take place. So it's very healing.
What about things like orange juice, apple juice? Fresh juice, yeah.
But you're talking about fresh juice.
Preferably fresh.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a person that wants to go to the store and buy it, providing that's not a staple of your diet, I think it's okay.
Alabama, your mic's on. The number is 347-945-5229. I'm going to take a break in just a second. Because when you say juicing and we say apple juice, does that mean I'm supposed to go to the store and get a bag of apples and cut the cores out and then juice it? Because it's very difficult to find juice, apple juice.
You could go out to the farm and get some of that.
Is that apple cider juice?
Well,
is it the same?
I think they just have plain juice. I just think they squeeze it and sell it. They got cider, but they have plain apple juice there. I'm going to guess.
And then you can go to the farmer's market over there at Valley Market. You can get fresh squeezed orange juice.
Mm-hmm.
And it is good. Fresh. I mean, oranges, no additives.
Right.
But
it's the best kind, right?
Oh, it's absolutely wonderful. Listen, I'm going to take a break. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I'll see you on the other side of my break.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
Fit Family, unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Intelligent, energetic, controversial.
Dramatic last stand of the fugitive ex-cop Christopher Dorner.
America's correspondent, Geraldo Rivera.
I know people, there are lots of people who sympathize with his cause, but to sympathize with what he did, no, I don't think so.
This is Geraldo on News Talk 600 WSOM.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. A union rep for the nurses at Northside Hospital say no progress was made during contract negotiations with the company that operates the hospital. The union met with negotiators from Valley Care for 4.5 hours yesterday, but apparently there was no change in the hospital's stance on contract issues. No future talks are scheduled. 480 members of the Youngstown General Duty Nurses Association have been without a contract for 14 months, but they've remained on the job. The union rejected the last offer from Valley Care. A Mahoning County judge denied the release request from a man serving 8 years in prison for 4 robbery convictions. The judge ruled against the motion filed by the 33-year-old man. He was sentenced in 2007 for the crimes, and he's scheduled to be released from prison in January of next year. And the Columbiana County Drug Task Force says agents confiscated 235 marijuana plants growing in 3 townships, Center, Franklin, and Wayne. The task force estimates the street value of the crop at $235,000. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
Hey, Dad, how's it going?
I'm okay. I'm still a little sore.
You're lucky you didn't break something with that fall you took.
I'll be fine. Just need to watch where I'm going.
Dad, I wanted to talk to you about something that's been on my mind.
What's that, son?
Just hear me out. What do you think about moving to...
Not that retirement community thing again.
I went online and found out about Copeland Oaks. It's close by and looks like a great place.
No, not for me.
But, Dad, with Mom gone and you home by yourself, I just want to make sure you're okay.
I'm fine. I'm not ready for a nursing home.
Dad, it's not a nursing home. It's a retirement community with younger, active people just like you. It's not like it used to be. They have really nice apartments, even real homes in a neighborhood, plenty of activities, good food, and they've been around for a long time.
I don't know.
You can still do everything you normally do, only you have people around who can help if you need it.
Well, maybe.
You know, they've even got a stocked pond.
Now that's the best thing I've heard yet.
Call 1-800-222-4640 or go to CopelandOaks.com. Copeland Oaks, a faith-based retirement community. People of all faiths welcome.
Tax Steer & Company is Salem's home team business and tax advisors. We've been coaching our clients through the complexities of the tax codes and crafting business strategies for success with years of experience to prove it. Tax Steer & Company's team of advisors can share their experience with you to maximize your financial success. Don't wait until the fourth quarter to work on your game plan. Call Hack Steer & Company early in the game and develop an offensive strategy to put your team in the lead and a defensive strategy to keep you there. When you're ready to improve your game, give Roger Hack, Steve Steer, or Wendy Saltzman a call.
Lately, it seems there's been a lot of back-to-school talk. How about you? Thinking of going to college or back to college? Wondering how you can afford it? Check out Kent State University's Columbiana County campuses. We offer 27 degree programs in high-demand fields such as nursing, business, criminal justice, occupational, and physical therapy. Take classes online or on campus in East Liverpool or Salem. We're close to where you work, close to where you live. And we have reduced tuition for West Virginia students in the Northern Panhandle. Call 1-877-KENT-EDU to find out more. You belong here.
Your Northeast Ohio Ford dealer announces the Built Ford Tough Truck event. The deal just got better on a new F-150 and Super Duty 2. Like 0% financing for 60 months plus $1,500 cash back. Visit drive1ohio.com for details.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back. And you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. And today, you know, today is Health and Wellness Day. I'm having some technical issues. I've been having them all day long. And Doc Mace is, when he comes in, I try to have them all, you know, done, where he doesn't have to worry about them. By the time he gets here, I'm supposed to be up and running and having no problems, but that's not working today.
Technical difficulties.
But I have to throw this in here. For those of you who have pets, you got to go see my friend Joy over at the Pet Spa Salon. It's located over at 1122 Western Reserve Road in Boardman. And go and tell them you heard it on Tracy and Friends. Say it. Tracy keeps on talking about getting my cat bathed. I only have a dog, and so I'm bringing my dog in. But Tracy keeps on talking about giving a cat a bath. Mark, are you laughing at me?
Because you're giving a cat a bath.
See there? So,
jeez, oh man.
So tell him that Tracy said for me to come give a cat a bath, but I'm only going to give my dog a bath. But and I have to call Joy and find out if what the flavor of the day is. They have the flavor of the month because people let their dogs smell like coconut.
Yeah.
That'll be a nuisance for your dog to smell like meat. Come on. But their phone number is 330-758-4444. Go over there and tell Joy and Mark. Mark, they take care of my baby. I got a baby named Patches.
That's the cat.
That's a dog.
It's a dog.
I don't have a cat.
Okay. I don't have to worry about you drowning a cat trying to give it in the bath, are you?
You know, and
my mother, my mother used to give my, we used to have parakeets. She used to wash the parakeets and they'd all drown.
You know, birds are a little bit different. But I was at an aviary.
Yeah.
In Pittsburgh over the weekend.
Uh-huh.
I found birds are dirty birds.
Yeah.
Birds are dirty.
Tell it to the geese by my office. Oh, my Lord.
You talk about dirty birds.
Dirty birds.
We call it constructive
dirty
addiction.
Dirty birds, angry birds.
Angry birds? You don't play angry birds,
no.
Do you?
I don't have time for that.
See, you are so disciplined. You have not gotten caught up into the Angry Bird,
Candy
Dirty
Crush.
Bird, Candy Crush. I don't do Candy Crush. I do Bubble Safari and Words with Friends.
I do play that one every now and then.
You do what?
Words.
You do Words with Friends?
Occasionally, yeah.
I do Words with Friends.
What's Words with Friends? I haven't heard of that.
It's similar to Scrabble.
Okay.
It's just not as rigid as Scrabble, I'd say.
Okay.
Would you say? It's a new word for Scrabble.
I thought it was about the same
thing,
isn't it?
Well, the points are different.
Okay. Well,
the pointing
yeah.
is different. The board is different.
Yeah.
So the words have to be exactly right.
Oh, yeah. It's not like the math. You can't explain it away.
All right.
Do you have a cheat sheet?
No.
Okay.
You can't,
I do.
You can't explain it away.
I play against the computer, I have a cheat sheet.
No. And I'm not going to tell you, because they do have apps that cheat.
Well, I've got one. I've got here, here's Classic Words, which is my Scrabble thing, and right above it's Word Solver that I can put in the numbers, the letters, and get the
I think some of my words are friends. I think my friends are because some of them not that bright.
I can't think of that word. You're not smart enough.
I think you're smarter than a fifth grader, but you're not that bright.
Yeah, you can see them a mile away, can't you?
Yeah, you can. You're like, huh?
Here's what I learned. There's no two-letter word with C in it.
I know that.
And that's very frustrating. Somebody needs to make up one.
I mean, X even has one, but C does not.
So does Q.
Q has one. QI. And
QI.
That is what we do. Mm-hmm. QI.
And XI.
XI. And then there is also ZA.
Yeah.
And I think there's no AZ.
There's ZAA, too, I believe. I think there's probably two ways. Yeah, I think so.
I didn't know that. Oh, that's pretty good.
Okay, Matt, you're going to tell me how I'm going to lose 40 pounds in a month.
You know what I was just thinking about? There was a study published in the New England Journal of Medicine, which is a very renowned medical journal, back in 2008. And they basically looked at 10,000 people over a 3.5-year study. And they were... Their marker was by intensively lowering their blood sugar by using a test what they call hemoglobin A1C, which is basically a blood test to measure your average blood sugar over 3 to 4 months. So typically you want your A1C about 5.5 or a little bit lower. And they did that successfully. They were able to lower the blood sugar, lower their A1C to right where it needed to be. The end result of that was a 22% increase risk of death.
Wow.
Whoa.
Increased, not decreased.
Yeah.
So, with that being said, 22% increased risk of death, a 37% increased risk of retinopathy, which is your chance of going blind, and 37% increased risk of kidney failure.
Okay.
So, with that being said, drugs do not improve longevity. In fact, oftentimes, they decrease longevity.
And let me ask you this. I know a lot of people who are diabetic. And those that I know who are diabetic who have been very, very rigid in discipline they have a long survival rate.
Absolutely.
But when I say rigid in discipline, I have an aunt. She's been diabetic for at least, I'm 48, 49, 45 of those years. She's been a diabetic. I've watched her journal every blood sugar level that she's taken three times a day, before and after dinner, with her insulin. I've watched her go through that whole process. And she's now 88. But that's not something that I would want to have as my 45-year plan, when I can find a way to modify my eating, modify my way of life, and not have to prick my finger and give myself a shot every day. Mike Claret, who was my co-host here.
What a great guy.
He died. Because he was not that rigid. He was only 50, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
He died. Hypertension, diabetes, not being disciplined. And if you think this is what's going in my head, if you think discipline or lack of discipline, or you can't discipline yourself to lose the weight, to become healthy, what makes you think you're going to be so disciplined to regulate your sugar all day long? You follow?
Yeah.
I mean, I know that I'm not gonna always pass up the Cinnabon. I'm not. So I would rather have a small little piece now and start reshaping my thought process, because I know Tracy well enough. We talked about Dr. Brandy talked about at the beginning of the show. To be perfectly honest with you, I know I have a hard time with pills, let alone pricking myself, testing my blood sugar, and then giving myself an insulin shot when I'm having a hard time just pricking my finger for a blood test.
Yeah. You know,
that's just being honest.
Here's the deal in the conventional medical system. You know, you got someone that says, you know, I went to my doctor, and my doctor and I, you know, I'm pre-diabetic, right, borderline, and my doctor and I were watching my sugar. Well, if you come to me, I don't want to watch your sugar. I want to improve your sugar. I mean, that's a big, big difference between the conventional medical model or going to someone who's practicing functional medicine. I mean, you know, that's huge. They're basically watching disease and chasing disease. You know, they're waiting until your blood sugar gets to the point where it's so high that you do need to take insulin, you need to take metformin or something like that, instead of actually putting you on a nutrition and wellness plan to get your body healthier.
But that's not how we're taught. We're not taught to do that.
Under our healthcare system, no one is taught to take responsibility of your health.
We're not taught to take responsibility of anything.
We're taught that I have insurance, I can go and abuse my body, I can go live a suicidal lifestyle, and when
give
I get
a pill.
Sick, someone's going to pay for it. Doctor's going to fix me.
I don't think it's going to be that easy.
That's why we have an epidemic of poor health in the United States. No one's taking responsibility for the health, and when we get sick, we got drugs for that.
We're going to do this again and do it some more, talk about it. I want to talk about the laser treatment because Alabama, I led into it, and I don't know if anybody heard, and we've got to go over it. Because I found, and I stuck my hand in it one day while I was at Doc's office. You know what's funny? I mean, because seriously, Mark,
does it hurt?
No.
Really?
You don't feel it. I mean, it's really weird. And I only got about 7 minutes to do this. It's really weird. You put your arm in, I put my arm in. But I just went, and there's a bunch of infrared lights that go all over it. You feel like little pins or little pulls, but you don't feel anything, really. But you feel it later on, afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of weird because it's not what you think. It's something like from a science fiction movie. Okay, you can talk about it now.
All right. Yeah. It looks like something off the Star Trek.
It does.
But here's the deal. For the people, you're talking about who's it good for and who it isn't.
Who's it good for, who it's not, and let people call you. And we'll do, next month, I promise, we'll start at the beginning of the show and do that.
You know how some people, if they have like a tight beer belly where it's extended, it's protruding, but you can't pinch an inch, right? I mean, it's really tight.
No, but go ahead.
Yeah, that's where people have what they call visceral fat, meaning fat around their organs. It's not what we call subcutaneous fat. It's not that floppy stuff, right?
Okay.
That type of people there will not respond. And the reason being is because the laser isn't able to penetrate enough to break up that type of fat cell.
Okay.
Now, the people with the floppy skin, or, you know, the muffin top or the love handles, whatever you want to call it, they respond famously with that. So how does the Zorona body sculpting laser work? It's a cold laser, meaning there's cold lasers and there's hot lasers. Hot lasers burn and cut, right, for surgery. Well, this is what we call a class 4 cold laser. Now, what the lasers do, this procedure takes about 40 minutes. So you're laying face down for 20 minutes, face up for 20 minutes. You position the lasers. There's 5 lasers. You position that over the body part you want to sculpt. And those lasers penetrate the fat cells. They perforate or put tiny little holes in the fat cell. That causes the contents of the fat cell to leak out, sort of like taking a grape and dehydrating it. So the fat leaks into your bloodstream and your body burns it up as fuel. So, for instance, like when we're exercising, first your body burns up sugar, carbohydrates, for fuel. After it burns that up, then it shifts to the fat, right? It burns the fat. So what this is doing, that's dumping that fat directly into the system. So you're encouraged, after you've had the Zorona laser treatment that day, you're encouraged to go exercise, specifically to do 20, 25, 30 minutes of aerobic exercise. Because that's going to help to burn up that fat that you release in your system. Some of the fat also gets metabolized, broken down by the liver, and it's safely excreted out your body. And people, you know, some of the other things that came to people's heads were is, you know, is there any kind of risks or complications with that? Basically, there's no risk or complications whatsoever. Matter of fact, they've shown that oftentimes people's cholesterol actually drops by about 10 to 13%, which is better than what a lot of these statin cholesterol medications are doing.
Just by taking the treatment?
Yeah. By the way, statin medications also cause diabetes, since we're talking about that.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
In about, I think, one out of six people can cause diabetes.
So now, we were talking about sculpting, and you know, as I try to lose weight, I have, you know, my arms are bigger, my arms are losing weight, and I sound I have flab now. Well, and as I work out, yeah, I'll get some muscle, but my muscle may not go back to the hard arm that I once had. Would that be a person who would be a candidate for
a good candidate?
Yes, for
yes. It basically, here's what I tell people, it's not a magic wand. Look, you can't go get the procedure done and go eat your cupcakes and ho-hos and sit around and not exercise. So
why not?
It's encouraging you to start a healthier lifestyle and start exercising. Same thing if you go get liposuction, if you actually get the fat physically removed, right? I mean, if you get that removed and you go home and you start eating a suicidal lifestyle, you're going to eventually put it back on. And there, you know, that's just the truth of the matter. There's none of
so
that magic pill. Now, with that being said, if you're doing the healthy things, you're following the protocol, you're going to respond. You're going to respond very well. Now, it's also the other person that's a candidate is for the people who's already living a healthy lifestyle, exercising and doing positive, healthy things, but they have those hard to reach areas or those areas that are very stubborn and unresponsive.
Okay.
You know, so you can get those troublesome areas that respond very well too.
So this procedure is when they come to you that you do the procedure, you also counsel them on what they have to do
to maintain it, to get the maximum effect.
Wow.
Yeah, so basically the procedure takes, you go every other day, so you go like Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Okay.
Come back the following week, go Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So the basic package is six treatments. Now, if someone has more to lose, then you're looking at maybe 9 or 12 treatments.
Okay.
But this is something that I have to, and anyone else who, I'm a microwave girl. This is not something that you go and do to get into the dress for the wedding. You have to, or am I wrong?
I've had people do that.
Really?
I've had people do that.
Jeez.
For weddings. Yeah.
So if I come get it done for the wedding, I'll be down for my dress.
It will slow
down. But
I
still need to go and exercise.
Absolutely.
Afterwards.
Yeah.
It's not like I lay. I mean, when I say that, it's not like I lay there, and then I drink a glass of water, and I go home and I'm done.
No. No, you need to go home and do some form of exercise.
That's really interesting. That's a little scary. Wow.
You know,
know that
lasers,
well.
Lasers, all types of lasers have been around for 35, 40 years.
Yeah.
I mean, they're treating anything from, immune, suppressed immunes to skin conditions like dermatitis, eczema.
They take
fungus
all
the
junk
on
the off my face with lasers.
Right. So, I mean, and lasers have been proven to be very effective. It's not, you know, a lot of people think, oh, is that radiation? No, there's nothing like that harmful that's going in your body.
Oh, does it hurt?
No.
Oh, that's good.
No,
I don't like things that hurt.
No bruising, no hurting.
When I say it's the technology that's out there today, it's very, very science fiction. For those of us who are a little bit older.
Yeah.
Because who would have ever thought that you would lay down and that would roll off?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, you go back to basic eating. You know, I read a debate on that kind of diet. It's kind of interesting because now, you know, that kind of food tends to be a little bit pricey.
Hey, guys. It might be pricey, but we got to go.
Hey, no.
You're listening to Tracy and Friends, and we're done with the day. God bless you guys, Dr. Mason. He's Dr. Mason Mullins. Give us the number, Dr. Mason, real quick.
330-219-6250.
We'll be back tomorrow. We'll do this again tomorrow. It's open mic. We'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. God bless you, and have a good day.
Teeth into an international effort to corral.